We pray. Heavenly Father, you who have loved us with an everlasting love, you who have come and made us your own dear children, so fill us to overflowing with your light, your truth, your word divine, that we might leap for joy and rejoice to be called the children of God, that because your Son washed us clean in his blood, that we might trumpet the news of his salvation throughout the four corners of this world. Bless us, that we might be a blessing to others and give glory to your name. Amen. The night before Jesus' execution was a very busy night for him. If I had known that in a few hours I'm going to be arrested, and by dawn tomorrow morning I'd be executed, I would probably be spending my time trying to find the fastest train out of town. But not Jesus. He spent that evening before his execution giving gifts to his disciples. More and more all the time. He started out by washing their feet. Then he gave them the Lord's Supper. He took time to warn Judas and Peter that they would deny him, that they're about to fall into a deep, dark hole. He reassured all his disciples just what he was doing. I'm going home to my Father's house to make a place for you, and I promise you I will come back to take you to be with me in glory. He took time to promise them the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and that their sorrow would soon be turned to joy. He kept on talking and warning and building them up for what was about to happen in the next few hours. And if that wasn't enough, then we turn and see that he pours out his heart to his heavenly Father, not for his protection, but for his disciples' safety and for our safety. He cries out, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. To be one with God. Do you have a powerful name? Would you consider your name powerful? Well, there is a certain amount of power in everybody's name, especially when we use our names to sign contracts, like mortgages. We use our name to bind ourselves to that agreement and to take ownership of property. But if you had a name like Rockefeller or Buffett or Gates, ooh, then would you wield some power, huh? Doors that are closed to us ordinary people would fly open for you just at the sheer mention of your name. Very powerful and influential people would fall all over themselves to please you and accommodate you if only you were a Rockefeller. But we aren't, are we? No. Our names usually don't amount to a hill of beans. We'll come and go and very likely, very few people will even remember our names. But notice what Jesus does. He prays to his heavenly Father for him to protect his dear disciples, to protect him in the most powerful and intimate way by the power of his name placed upon them. The closest example we have in this world of the protection that comes with a name might well be marriage and family. It is our custom that as a bride and groom get married, that the groom gives his name to the bride and all that goes with that name. All the possessions, all the protection, all the prestige that is now covering his bride. And when God gives children to that couple, they come under the Father's name and all the protection and blessing that goes with that. And there's something to that name then, isn't there? Today we celebrate Mother's Day, and there's all kinds of things we rejoice about with our mothers, but have you ever seen a mother bear? Ooh, sometimes when our little cubs are threatened, our mothers, as sweet and docile as MIP, instantly turn into mother bears, and they're a force to be reckoned with. Or perhaps true fathers. And their commitment, this is my child, he bears my name, it's going to have the full weight and of my protective care and all I can do for my little one. Well, notice, if that's how humans act, how much more isn't it true that we are safe, safe in God's name that he's placed upon us? In Psalm 2, God records for us his immense passion and love for the Son of God, Jesus, his one and only Son. It reads, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. Wow. God the Father is truly looking out for God the Son. Jesus shared God's name as his one and only Son, and God has placed his name on you and me through faith. Remember how he did that? You're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't take possession of us as some slave, some servant in the corner. No, he calls us his beloved children, bearing his name. He writes it on the tablet of our heart and our soul. And so we are Jesus' brothers and sisters. Jesus claims us as his very own, and God lays claim to us as his redeemed children. All the protection that goes with God's name is upon you and me. And so we are safe. Jesus realizes what a dangerous world this is. The very Son of God, in all of his holiness and purity, takes on human flesh, and he can smell the sin of this world, how vile and dangerous it is. And sure enough, this is a very dangerous world. Remember, as Jesus is but a baby, King Herod sends out his military assassins to kill him while he's still in diapers? Remember how for 40 days in the wilderness, Satan pummeled him with all kinds of temptations, trying to get Jesus to crack and crumble and sin, all to stop his work of salvation? Or remember how the townspeople, those that grew up with Jesus all throughout his childhood and young adulthood, they tried to throw him off of a cliff because they had no room for his words in their hearts. And ultimately, when it was time for Jesus to surrender his body, there were all kinds of enemies who couldn't wait to nail the spikes in and jeer at him underneath his cross. But in all those things, God's power, the power of his name, carried Jesus from beginning to end. Carried him in the palm of his hand. God stood between him and the danger that faced him all his growing up years. He rescued him from all of his enemies and every evil attack until that day when Jesus was willing to hand over his life in payment for all of our sins. Then they let the forces of evil have their way, and God, in his protective care, even used that to protect you and me, to pay for our sins and remove the biggest enemy against us, our guilt. And in God's holy name, he raised his son from the dead. And just as the Father protected the Son, so he protects you and me. Satan is out to get us too. He could not defeat Jesus, but he's out after us. Oh, how he'd love to torment us, pull us into all kinds of dark corners and evil and wretchedness, even demon possession. Oh, how this world wants to mock at Christians and silence this language. Enough of this Jesus, they say. But God has His plan and His protection. He sends His guardian angels to encamp around us, to keep Satan far from us, to protect us in all evil. God's name is more than just the titles He goes by. The book of Revelation talks about how God's name is the very Word of God. Everything He's revealed about Himself. That's who God is. And oh, how the Word has become, Scripture says, our sword to lop off Satan's head, to keep our enemies at bay. How Christ's righteousness proclaimed upon us is a breastplate, so all those arrows that the unbelieving world wants to shoot at us, they cannot harm us. He talks about God's salvation as a helmet to keep our head in place, to keep our thinker clear, to be able to discern right from wrong in the path of light to the deep darkness. Oh, how God protects us through His Word, through His deliverance, through His holy name in all situations in life. Oh, where we would be had God removed His name of protection upon us. Our lives would truly be miserable and unlivable. But God is with us. Even when that most worst enemy, that enemy within us attacks, that sinful nature, God is right there to beat him back with the power of His Word, to nurture that new person of faith that it might be in the driver's seat. And when we sin, God is right there to wrap us in the robe of Jesus' forgiveness, to restore us, to renew us, to keep us safe and protected in His grace and goodness. And that's why Jesus prays, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And so we stand safe in God's name that rests upon us. On the eve of Jesus' execution, he not only prayed for our protection, but he prayed for something else. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Notice how Jesus intertwines our lives with His. He bears the name of being the very Son of God. And He gives us the name of being the children of God. He was sent into the world to purchase salvation for each and every one of us. And He sends us out into the world to proclaim that salvation won by Jesus. And He says that He sanctified Himself in order that we might be truly sanctified. And he prays to the Father, now sanctify them by your word of truth. Sanctify? What does sanctify mean? That's not a word we use every day. Well, it's one of those fancy words that means set apart for a holy purpose, at God's will and at God's design. I like to use the word consecrate. It might have more meaning for us. The Father set apart, consecrated Jesus to be our Savior, the Savior of the whole world. That was His mission. Jesus didn't belong to this world. He came in and took on human flesh, but even then he didn't fit in, for He was holy in a very sinful world. He was God amongst the fallen. But He became a human in order to fulfill salvation, to fulfill God's holy purpose. And in His life and death and resurrection, He has transformed each and every one of us. We're now strangers and foreigners in this world. We don't fit in, because now we're not the children of a fallen mankind. We're the children of God who walk in His light and His love in His truth, in His power. All because God has given us His holy word. Jesus prayed, I have given them your word, and the world hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Jesus has washed us clean in His holy blood, made us acceptable to the Father, and now the Father comes and consecrates us, sets us apart out of this world for a very holy purpose, His will. The disciples who were hearing this prayer for the very first time probably had no clue as to just how sanctified they truly were going to be, what a mission and purpose God had for their lives. But Jesus was about to send them out to the four corners of the world to proclaim this wonderful gospel. Oh, what an effect it would have on so many hearts and lives all throughout the world, and yet what hatred they would incur. And yet God would protect them, fill them, move them on, accomplish His holy will, but they would suffer. By and large, they were all imprisoned at one time or another, beaten, and became martyrs for their faith. And yet in all of that, God was still protecting, preserving, carrying them on from day to day. And guess what? Our Heavenly Father has consecrated us in this same word. He sends us out, His redeemed children, to live for Him. Just like these apostles, to spread the word, to show His love, to live in that love and give that love that is so foreign and unnatural to this world, to be able to forgive as we've been forgiven, to share this word of truth and life, to let God's holy light dawn in us and reflect through us. On this Mother's Day, we thank God for mothers, for all the blessings He gives us through our mothers this day. Oh, we thank Him. But how blessed we are when our mothers, first and foremost, live for their Lord, and secondly, for their families. How blessed we are when fathers are sanctified, consecrated in the Word of God, and lead their families to the open arms of their Savior and deep into His Word. He has given us a purpose wherever we are planted to give Him glory and to live in His truth and love and salvation. All around us is our mission field. In every relationship we have. And He sanctifies us, He consecrates us that we might be a conduit to bring His good news to so many other starving hearts and souls and lives. And as long as we're alive, there's still work to do. Whether at the peak of our game or spending our days in a nursing home. And even in the face of our enemy's hatred, God has set us aside to be about His holy work, touching hearts and lives with the love that we have been touched with the truth from God's own mouth, with the salvation born from His holy blood, that we might be evangelists, sharers of the good news, and that others might be blessed from having come in contact with us. In His prayer, Jesus explained why He was spending His final hours doing this. He said, I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. The full measure of Jesus' joy. Is that ours? Is that ours to give to others? Soon our days will be over, and we'll be at home with the Lord in paradise everlasting. But now we pray, oh Lord, sanctify us, consecrate us, set us apart for your holy purpose, that we might touch hearts and lives and that they might have the full joy of Jesus' salvation, just as you've given to us. And the more that's our mission, maybe we aren't looking for the first train out of town when the going gets rough. Maybe rather we turn our attention to that that name that protects us and preserves us and guarantees us a home in heaven and works His good and gracious will in us and through us, that holy name of our Father, that we might be one with Him as a Son is one with Him. And in Him, we have our being. Amen. Please rise. We pray, merciful Lord, gracious God, our times are in Your hands. You have called us to be Your very own, to bask in the sunshine of Your grace and goodness of Your being. And dear Lord, we pray, use us to carry out this light into this dark world, that we might truly be a gospel force proclaiming the wonders of our Savior. Bless us and use us now and forever to the glory of Your name. Amen.